I send warm greeting to each and every one of you who is worshiping with us in your home, in your living room, or in your kitchen, wherever you are. We are glad that you have come to worship with us this morning. The winter had been especially difficult in the mountains of North Carolina. Heavy snowfall and cold temperatures had allowed the snow to accumulate to several feet at the higher elevations. The people who lived in the small mountain village located in a valley became concerned about an older couple who lived in an isolated cabin up on the mountainside. No one had seen either the husband or the wife for several weeks. Realizing that they were snowed in, the villagers would watch for smoke coming from the cabin chimney. One day, when smoke was no longer apparent, the people of the village decided to call in the Red Cross. A helicopter flew over the cabin, but no sign of life could be seen. Two Red Cross workers, equipped with medical supplies and food, parachuted into a clearing some distance from the cabin. The two young men made their way through the deep snow, clearing a path to the door of the cabin. One of them knocked. Momentarily, an old man appeared at the door. The young rescuer replied, "We are from the Red Cross." The old man looked at him and said, "Well, you know, it has been a right hard winter up here, and I just don't hardly see how we can give anything this year." The people watched the condition of the older couple and sent Red Cross workers, but the older couple did not expect anyone to give them aid. Doesn't this story tell how we face ordeal? Do we expect help when we are in need? Do we expect deliverance when we are in pain? Not necessarily. We may try to manage pain on our own and endure it instead of asking God to intervene. Let us look at Paul's personal situation when he wrote the letter to Christians in Rome. What was he referring to when he said, "The present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us"? The first thing to note in Paul's word is that Paul used plural here for the word suffering. He said, "The present sufferings." He had not just one, but multiple causes of pain. Paul wrote the epistle from the city of Corinth while he was on his third missionary itinerary around 57 AD. So Paul's present suffering would have had something to do with pains he experienced in Corinth. There are some references to his suffering on 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2, he said, "I would not make another painful visit to you." Paul apparently underwent pain during his previous stay in Corinth, and he was apprehensive about it. "I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice." Paul kind of expected distress when he came to church. The following words specify his escalated pain. I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. What made him to be in great distress and anguish of heart, and he shed many tears? Other parts of Paul's letter to Corinthians shed light on so many problems he dealt with in Corinth, such as immorality, marriage and celibacy issue, the conduct of believers, the propriety of eating meat offered to idols, and the worthy reception of the communion, church families suing one another in public courts, and so on. Paul's suffering was certainly multiple, like ours. You know, as many of you have experienced it, marriage could be a good example for this. They say that people would need 3 rings to marry somebody: an engagement ring, a wedding ring, and a suffer ring. Sometimes one misstep and one cause of suffering is subject to a chain reaction, which is what we see during this pandemic. Paul also saw that pain is universal and ubiquitous. Everyone suffers pain. Sufferings exist even in a place like church. Paul was greatly distressed by the troubles he saw in the church that he diligently worked at. The Apostle Paul explains this. The creation is subjected to frustration. All creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We don't have any trouble agreeing with Paul because our life has taught us enough of these facts of suffering. What we should note here is that Paul moves further from these aspects of suffering. Paul thinks that God is behind human pain. This may not be an easy doctrine to embrace, because we tend to think that God would not and should not allow pain in our life. However, Paul, as a matured Christian with a very deep understanding on Christian doctrine, makes a case that pain is not the absence of God. Pain is not the absence of God, but rather God is present in pain. In Paul's word, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. What was ground of his theology? Paul backs up his point of view on pain with the following. There is a hope of liberation and freedom from pain and glorious future. God allows pain so that God's creation may look up to God for salvation and liberation. We all suffer in this world, but should come to God for deliverance from pain. God does not leave us alone, but is involved in our pain so that we may find hope and that pain may lead us to a glorious future. I usually use the NIV Bible, and the NIV Bible for this particular part of Paul's word titled Present Suffering and Glorious Future, which I use it as a sermon title this morning. Present Suffering and Glorious Future. Do they make sense to you? Pandemic has not been an easy time for us. The first several months of stay-at-home work, very stressful time for me to establish online worship. But from the very beginning, God had planted in my heart the messages of encouragement and hope. Our faith is all about hope, no matter how hopeless the world may seem. Paul says, in this hope we are saved. Sufferings are constant, but we always find hope in God. We have been very attentive about the developments of the whole pandemic situations. Everyone now waits for vaccines, which is so critical for normalization. We hear both encouraging and also not so promising reports. Whatever the report may say, our faith in God speaks to us that there is hope. We may suffer today, but God is in our present suffering and will deliver us and lead us into the glorious future. There are different levels of suffering. Some troubles are rather easy, while some others are more painful. What if the situation would get worse? What do we do when the present suffering would become so serious that it engulfs our bearing capacity? Could we still trust it in God? When pain is too extreme, we are so crushed and dispirited and cannot function. We may not feel God's presence in an extreme pain, for it numbs our hearts and our minds. Some of you may have experienced something like this. We are at a loss for words during a severe pain and do not know how to pray. A severe pain makes us question God's existence and love. If God loved me, he would not allow great pain in my life. Paul explains what happens when we are in such a pain. The Holy Spirit steps in when we become so weak. The Holy Spirit is our faithful companion for the journey. He knows our weakness and intercedes for us when we cannot endure pain. You know, I usually maintain my prayer routine, and a few of you may have seen that I usually come to the sanctuary to pray in the morning, and I pray at home in the morning and night as well. But when I'm burnt out or in great pain, it is hard to keep up with the routine. Sometimes pain makes me discouraged to pray. When life becomes so hard, it is time to remember that we are not alone. There is someone who knows our pain. Someone prays for us. That someone is the Holy Spirit. In so much pain, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit, with wordless groan, intercedes for us. Lastly, pain is not altogether useless. There are many benefits of suffering. Suffering could draw us closer to God as we seek God's help in trouble. Pain sometimes is used to rewrite path to carry out what God intends in our life. An unexpected blockage on our path may frustrate us, but God may have designed it to be a turning point. Paul puts it this way: in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All things that Paul mentioned here in pain, all things, in all things, and God can use pain as well. Pain is a destructive component and could tear everything apart. But when God uses pain, it is resulted in something constructive. So expect to find God in pain. God works for us in our suffering. Patricia Leia shares the story in Christian Soup for the Soul. Two roommates in college, once out of money. The monthly allowance did not come 1 month to buy food, and they just had a dime to place a collect call to their parents at home. When he called home, his mom told him that his dad got ill and was out of work. His roommate's parents could not raise extra to send him either. They were devastated. They just had 1 month to finish the year. When they hung up the phone, they heard a noise and dimes were started falling out of the payphone. Being honest, they called the phone company and told them what happened. The operator said that the money did not belong to them and they should put the money back. When they tried, the dimes kept falling back out. After talking to a supervisor, she said that they should keep the money because they were not going to send someone all the way out to collect few dollars. They had now $7.20. They went to the groceries and told the manager what happened as they paid their purchase with dimes. The manager, hearing the story, offered the job to both of them from next day. They were both able to finish the college by working for the manager. His roommate became a lawyer and he became a businessman who owns multi-million dollar business. As he recollected it, he said it was either the operator who prevented the machine to take coins or an act of God. I mean, it's our natural tendency that during the pain, during the time of need, we do not expect God to intervene. It is not easy to see God in times of trouble. It is our natural tendency that our eyes are fastened to pain and we cannot see anything else beyond pain. But as Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, God never failed to show up when he is least expected in pain. God is present in pain. God uses pain to bring something good. And because of his involvement in our life, he will lead us into the glorious future. Amen.